This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290. We're at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of the Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest. Looks like the first group of skaters is off the ice. Group number two, session number two, will get underway at 12 noon. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Instagram.com/Illegal Curve. Some great photography, things going on here at the Iceplex and throughout the course of the previous Jets season. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From TSN 1200 in Ottawa, he's the color analyst for the Ottawa Senators. We're pleased to welcome to the program Gord Wilson. Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for having me. Yes, an exciting time of year in all cities around the National Hockey League, and none more exciting than here in Ottawa, because it's a level of excitement beyond belief over the last several months.
I was going to say, is excitement the right word for what's happening in Ottawa right now, given the Carlson trade, or is it anger? Is it angst? Is it fury? You know, what is the, I mean, from the outsider's point of view, we have an idea what the mood is. Being down there on the ground, what's the actual feeling among the Senators fan base?
Well, okay. I was just going to ask to be more specific in terms of, do you want the player's perspective or do you want the fan base perspective?
And both.
Obviously, you hit the nail on the head with anger as being the general sentiment towards the hockey club. Obviously, when you lose a player like, or say goodbye to a player of the magnitude that Erik Karlsson has had, not only on this team but in this community, it is devastating to a lot of people, and it goes without saying it's a major blow. That being said, it's business as usual for the players involved, and the players involved are taking part in a training camp that is aimed at getting this team better and aimed at getting this team in a position to make the playoffs once again. And as I'm sure you guys have talked about and heard from the nation's capital, the plan has been revealed. It's a rebuild for Ottawa, and there's going to be a lot of youthful enthusiasm on this team.
Gord, with everything that happened last year and in the summer, did the Ottawa Senators have to trade Erik Karlsson? Was it time? Did they really have a choice?
Yeah, well, they certainly had a choice. There's no question about that. But I think the general feeling was that this was the time. As Pierre Dorion said, the general manager of the club said, his last few words were at his news conference were, this was time. The timing seemed to be right, that it was time to move Erik Karlsson and allow him to continue his career somewhere else. And at the same time, the organization believes they have strengthened their hockey club in the long run. Obviously, when you lose Erik Karlsson, your team takes a serious blow, but they think in the long run, meaning down the road, the future of the Ottawa Senators will be strengthened because of this deal.
Now, Gord, is there any potential to get the relationship with the fans and the owner, Eugene Melnyk, back on some sort of, amicable level, because it sure seems like the fan base has turned on him?
Yeah, well, you know what? The owner doesn't go out and put the skates on and try and win hockey games. And we all know that winning cures an awful lot. And I think if this team is able to get off to a good start and play an exciting brand of hockey, then I think, fans will start to warm up to the idea of embracing this young hockey club that has got a wealth of talent on it. It's just a matter of how long this talent is going to take to become regular NHL talent. In other words, these young players who are expected to fill the void and jump in as soon as they can. How soon is that? That's the big question, I think, here in Ottawa. How soon can the Alex Formantons and Drake Pathersons and Thomas Chabots of the world fulfill expectations?
Gord Wilson, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Gord is the Ottawa Senators color analyst on TSN 1200. Gord, before the trade happened, the Erik Karlsson trade happened, there was that bizarre video that was released at 10 o'clock at night, featuring Eugene Melnyk being interviewed by a Senators player. Whose idea was that, and why did they think that was a good idea?
You're asking the wrong guy that. I'll have to be quite vague on that. I'm not sure whose idea it was. I'm not sure. Obviously, when you put something like that out, you have the best of intentions to do so. And I think the main intention was just to simply unveil the plan. Most of the talk here in Ottawa over the summer months since last year has been, what's the plan? What is going to be the direction this club is going to take? Are they going to keep Erik Karlsson? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? We want to know the plan. And I think I'm not sure why it was released when it was and why it was done the way it was. But, I mean, optics aside, it was revealed during that that interview or that video what the plan was going to be. And that's essentially what the goal was, to get that idea out there.
In his exit interview yesterday, Erik Karlsson, you know, spoke about wanting to, you know, Ottawa's still his home. He wanted to be a long-term member of the Ottawa Senators. If the Senators can't hold on to Erik Karlsson, one of the preeminent defensemen in the league, who can they hold on to?
You're firing some loaded questions at me.
Sorry, Gord.
In all honesty, I'm here to call the balls and strikes and analyze that. I apologize for being very vague. I don't look after the numbers. I don't look after the budget. Who can they hold on to? Well, they've got a $7 million player in Bobby Ryan. They've got a $6 million player in Matt Duchene. They've got a $7.5 million player in Mark Stone, who they signed to a contract before this season started, and they're hoping to start negotiations or continue negotiations with him and get him under contract long term. I don't think there's any question that this team has the ability to sign core players to long-term contracts, and the hope is in some of the players who I just identified in terms of Mark Stone and Matt Duchene, that they can get these players under contract long-term. But, I mean, that's just speculation on my part, and from what I've heard, that's the plan going forward.
Gord, to go back to Erik Karlsson, he spoke to the media Thursday after he was traded to the San Jose Sharks, and you know, I watched that entire press conference, and, you know, you've covered the Ottawa Senators for many years. Watching Erik Karlsson speak to the media and shaking everyone's hands after, is this someone who, you know, not only loves the city of Ottawa, living in Ottawa, Senators, this is a team he played, you know, over 600 games for, but this is a guy that, you know, wishes he was leaving the team under different circumstances?
Yep, no question. And, you know, somebody who has basically cut his teeth and grown up his hockey career, essentially his pro hockey career, was the beginning of him growing up as an NHL player to what he is today. And obviously he's got strong ties to the nation's capital, thanks to people like Daniel Alfredson, who brought him in as soon as he was drafted, and married an Ottawa girl, and that's why he's calling Ottawa his home, his future home, when his hockey career comes to an end.
You know, Gord, it's easy to pile on when someone's down, and it seems like social media, that's the way it goes, so it looks like everybody's piling on Ottawa. Do you think that could have a positive impact for the team, though? Maybe help the guys band together and really kind of try and do something this season?
Yeah, absolutely, and Matt Duchene has already alluded to that. He said the adversity that we're facing through social media is overwhelming, and he said we've got a chip on our shoulder because of it, and it can be, you know, depending on how you are as a person, and I know most professional athletes have the ability to, you know, turn off the external noise and or the adversity and rise to the occasion, and this is where we will see what the Ottawa Senators are made of. Everybody expects them to finish 31st. Everybody expects them to lose a lot more than they actually win. And I think that's motivation enough for the players on this hockey club to do everything they can to prove people wrong.
Last question for you, Gordon. When it rains, it pours. Right on the heels of the Karlsson trade, it's announced that J.G. Pageau is likely to miss the entire season with an Achilles injury. you know, from an on-ice perspective and a talent perspective, how significant of a blow is that to the Senators?
Well, I'll take it even further and say, you know, the on-ice is a serious blow because he was penciled in as a second or third line centerman on this team, and JG does an awful lot of the dirty work and the heavy lifting on the penalty kill, and it's the penalty kill that has to get better this year. The fact that they received Chris Tierney in return is a huge plus for Ottawa, in return for Erik Karlsson as part of that deal is a huge plus for the Senators, because Tierney's that type of player as well, in terms of being that 200-foot player, being that very versatile guy who can play at even strength with key players. He can, you know, be on a power play at times, and he can obviously kill penalties. I think 5 of his 17 goals last year were special teams goals, 3 in the power play, 2 on the PK with San Jose. So it's a huge plus that they do get a player like that in return. Where JG is, where the loss of JG affects this team perhaps as much as on the ice as is in the locker room. He is an extremely popular player, not only in the locker room, but in the community, and extremely endearing to his teammates just because of his work ethic and how hard he trained in the off season, obviously, to come up short here on the first day of medical training.
Well, there's a saying that it's always darkest right before the dawn, so hopefully with this Erik Karlsson trade, that might be the darkest moment, and it's a dawn of a new era for the Ottawa Senators. Gord Wilson is the Ottawa Senators color analyst on TSN 1200. Gord, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, fellas. Anytime. Look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Take care, Gord. We'll do it again real soon. When we come back, we talk about the Senators' trade of Erik Karlsson to San Jose. Does that make the Sharks the Western Conference favorite? Lots more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Jets Fan Fest on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Just going to speak from my heart, and I wish we were standing here during different circumstances. It's a very emotional and sad day for me and my family, but it's an unfortunate part of the business.
Former Ottawa Senators defenseman Erik Karlsson.
More people wishing Dave a happy birthday.
More people. I think this guy's coming to replace us. He's about 4 years old, so he's obviously smarter than we are. And I think he's definitely got a future here on the radio broadcast. That was Erik Karlsson, former defenseman of the Ottawa Senators, now a member of the San Jose Sharks after the, well, you could say inevitable trade happened, but it finally did occur earlier this week, and it was a big one at that, a blockbuster trade, seeing Karlsson go to the Western Conference. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live here on TSN Radio 1290. We're at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. Come on down. Lots going on this Saturday morning here at the Iceplex. Jets Fan Fest session number 2, on ice session number 2, coming up at 12 noon this morning. This segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Remember, if you love Bernstein's as much as we do, leave them a 5-star review on TripAdvisor. So the trade, let's go through it in detail. Erik Karlsson and minor league forward Francis Perron to the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, Karlsson the headliner there. To Ottawa, a first-round pick in either 2019 or 2020, centerman Chris Tierney, a second-round pick in 2019, prospect center Josh Norris, worth pointing out that Josh Norris and Brady Tkachuk are very good friends, prospect Rudolph Balkers and defenseman Dylan DeMello. The Senators will also receive a second-round pick in 2021 or a first-round pick if Karlsson re-signs with the Senators or if the club reaches the Stanley Cup final. And in a little form of protection, if Erik Karlsson ends up getting traded to an Eastern Conference team at any point in time this season, the Senators will also receive a pick in 2021 or 2022. Did the Senators get enough? Did they get nearly enough for Erik Karlsson, one of the preeminent defensemen in the world today?
I don't think they did. And when you're talking about, you know, the return they got, I mean, Chris Tierney right now, we just talked to Gord Wilson about it. He said it himself. I mean, right now, Chris Tierney pencils in as the Ottawa Senators' second-line center.
Yeah.
Especially with J.G. Pageau out for the season. By the way, that's just horrible for J.G. Pageau. I really like him as a player. I mean, I don't know him personally, obviously, yeah. Drew, but you know, horrible that we're here in middle September and he's already going to be out for the season. But getting back to the trade, Chris Tierney is a good player. Good, solid player.
He's a fine player. He's not a game changer.
He's not a game changer, and he's not a top six player on good NHL teams.
Right.
But he's a good, solid player. Now, he's obviously not the centerpiece of the trade. There is no centerpiece.
That's the problem.
When you're talking about the rest of these players, I mean, Josh Norris, he's a good prospect. But is he going to be a second-line player? Is he going to be a third-line player? He's probably not going to play in the NHL this year. Rudolph Balcers, he's a late pick. I don't know a lot about him. Remains to be seen what he's going to turn into. I think he was drafted back in 2015 or 14, if I'm not mistaken. So, Dylan DeMello, good solid defenseman. I mean, he had a pretty decent year last year for the Sharks.
He was an unrestricted free agent at a point this summer. The Senators could have signed him.
And he's more of a defensive defenseman. Yeah. I mean, he's a third pairing guy at the NHL level.
Exposed in the expansion draft.
So you have to take this trade based on the sum of its parts, right? So if you're putting all of that together, does that equal Erik Karlsson on the last year of his contract? I don't think it does. You're talking about a guy who not only is a two-time Norris winner, this is a guy that's in the prime of his career. This is not a 35-year-old Erik Karlsson.
No.
This is a 28-year-old Erik Karlsson. And I think especially if he ends up signing with the Sharks.
Well, so
sure,
if
the extra pick. But I mean, you're talking about a 2020 first-round pick. That's not going to be a high pick.
How do you agree to this trade, Dave? If you're Pierre Dorion, mm-hmm. How do you agree to this trade? And this is to Ezzie's point. When the trade doesn't have a centerpiece, we're going to talk about the Max Pacioretty trade later on. That's at least got a centerpiece as to who's going back to Montreal in Nick Suzuki. If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, there's not even one of these guys that you can point to that says, this is the reason we traded Erik Karlsson to really get this guy in particular because he's going to be a first-line player or a second-line player. He's going to be a bona fide or he's got the chance to be a bona fide NHL stud. You traded away maybe the best defenseman in the league, and you got nothing back that's even remotely close in compensation.
I know that Sharks GM Doug Wilson is from Ottawa, but I don't think that means that he should be getting all these sweetheart hometown deals
sure.
that he seems to be getting when he makes trades with the team that is now residing in the city he was born in. The one thing I will say is, we talk about dogpiling on to teams. We don't know what other teams were offering. I mean, maybe it was untenable. I mean, you never know, right? Pierre Dorion came out, put a pretty positive spin on it, or at least attempted to. It's very difficult. It's hard to evaluate these types of trades. Now, obviously, everybody is saying Ottawa got hosed. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how these players turn out. It'll also be interesting to see whether the Sharks manage to retain Erik Karlsson. Because if the Sharks don't manage to retain Erik Karlsson, and he goes, let's say, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Sure.
As a free agent. Which is possible, obviously, eventually. But the fact is, so then, the Senators got these players. Now, again, it's easy to do this because you're Monday morning quarterbacking on things we don't know. We don't have insight as to what other players were being offered. We haven't heard of other GMs saying, well, I would have offered them X, Y, and Z, which would have given them better assets. The reality is it's been pretty quiet from that regard. So it's hard to say, well, he had so many better offers. Why would he have taken this? That's all I'm saying. And again, this is a young, up-and-coming Ottawa team. They're going to likely be very bad in the next couple of years. But the truth is, that, and especially not having their pick this next year, it's
great. I mean, right. it quite likely could be the first overall pick that is now a property of the Colorado Avalanche.
Right, of course. And if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you're joyous
sure.
over this. But the reality is, and if you're a central team, you're probably not too enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that I just think that it's very difficult in this scenario to know what it will look like in a year or two. In a year or two, then we can look back and say this is what it is. But it's just always tough when people pronounce, oh, these guys are awful or this is exactly, because you can't say it's not written in stone. We don't know what these players are going to develop into. Seventh-round players become, or eighth-round players become Dustin Byfuglien.
Sure.
So I'm just saying that, right now,
You're less hesitant to condemn them right off the start.
Well, if you just went apples to apples and you said, well, Erik Karlsson for these guys, well, fine. Of course you're going to get hosed because, like Ezzie said, it's one of the top players, one of the top offensive defensemen in the NHL. if not the top. So, I mean, you're never going to get that back. You'll never do a one-for-one trade in that regard. But the truth is, the sum of all parts may eventually be something. Again, I don't know because we haven't seen what these guys are going to develop into. In 2 years, then we can have another conversation.
Pierre Maguire was on TSN 1200 in Ottawa on Friday talking about the Carlson trade, talking about the return on the Carlson trade. I think we have that audio. So here's what Pierre Maguire had to say about the Carlson trade on Friday on TSN 1200.
When I saw the compensation, I was a little bit taken aback. They clearly, there are two ways you can go about it. You can go for the quantity or you can go for the quality. They clearly went for the quantity. They did not get the quality. Now, you know, Tierney's an NHL player, which is really positive. I think Josh Norris can eventually be an NHL player. The relationship with, you know, Brady Tkachuk doesn't hurt either. But what they've done in Ottawa, and I think, again, they went for the quantity rather than the quality. And that's one of the things that people will scratch there and said, how come they weren't able to get Timo Meier? How come they weren't able to maybe get somebody else who would be a more of a name brand recognition? Thomas Hertl, just coming off the top of my head. But they weren't able to do that for whatever reason. I don't know. But the one thing that became very apparent, they put in a rider in the deal after having done the Hoffman deal, if you remember back to that, that if they trade Carlson back to the East, they get another first-round pick. They got burned once. They weren't going to get burned again.
Pierre Maguire on TSN 1200 talking about the return that the Senators got for Erik Karlsson from the San Jose Sharks.
I agree with everything that Pierre Maguire said there, guys, and it goes back to what we were talking about, and I agree with what Dave said earlier. I mean, the San Jose Sharks, is it not worth taking the risk if you're the San Jose Sharks? You know that you're a win-now team, right? You know that you only have Joe Thornton for one or two more years. This is not a team that's going to be happy with making the playoffs. The Sharks make the playoffs every year, Drew.
Sure.
This is a team that wants to win the Stanley Cup. So if you want to win the Stanley Cup, and now you have Brent Burns, Mark-Edward Vlasic, Justin Braun, and Erik Karlsson, I mean, if that's not the best top four in the NHL, it's got to be top five in the league, Dave, or top three. So I think it's worth taking the risk because you don't lose a core player or one of your top young players. And Pierre Maguire said it, Timo Meier, Thomas Hertl, and you still keep, obviously, Logan Couture, Joe Pavelski, your top players. So I think it's worth the risk. And when you're talking about those prospects, we don't know what they're going to turn into. As you said, Dave, we don't know how good Josh Norris is going to be. Rudolf Spalsers is obviously, you know, has less upside being, you know, a fifth round pick of the San Jose Sharks.
Overall pick would have been okay.
So I think it's worth the risk if you're the San Jose Sharks because you're getting arguably the best defenseman in the game. At the very least, he's, you know, one of the best defensemen in the game. So I think it's worth the risk for the San Jose Sharks, and I really don't think the Sens got enough in return. We know that they wanted, Miro Heiskanen from the Dallas Stars, and if you're talking about the Vegas Golden Knights, apparently they wanted Cody Glass, and they might have wanted Shea Theodore. Well, we know that the Golden Knights didn't want to trade Shea Theodore. And then when you're talking about some of the other teams, they wanted Mikhail Sergachev from the Tampa Bay Lightning. So when you consider that they could have maybe had one of those players, obviously they didn't, so maybe it's a moot point, but they wanted to get a young defensive prospect. There's no young D prospect in this trade.
No, you know, and that's to the point. I think that when they went forward to ask these guys for the other GMs and say, can we have this guy, can we have this guy, they were being rebuffed. They were basically being told, no, we're not trading those guys for Erik Karlsson, which, you know, is kind of surprising. But at the end of the day, and to your point about the San Jose Sharks, they're clearly in win-now mode. I mean, we're going for it. We need to win with this group, this veteran aging group. We want to win right now. So, I mean, again, we're saying the Sharks are the big winners, but if the Sharks don't win the Stanley Cup, you know, it may end up being the Tampa Bay Lightning are the beneficiaries.
If they get him in free agency.
Exactly.
You know what I think is really going to be interesting to see, Drew?
What's that? Quickly.
Is if the San Jose Sharks hold on to Erik Karlsson, knowing they aren't going to sign him on purpose just so they don't have to give up that first-round pick.
That's a possibility. There's all sorts of things that will play out as Erik Karlsson's now a member of the San Jose Sharks. They hope it ends with them lifting the Stanley Cup come next June. to Tampa Bay. They have a new general manager, Steve Yzerman, resigning. Julien Brisebois joining the organization, or going to move from the assistant general manager to the general manager's role. Brian Engblom, Tampa Bay Lightning analyst, joins us next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. We are live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex.
Your dad just helped himself to a muffin.
I believe that was the second muffin that he's helped himself to. Bye, Dad. Yes, okay. That was nice. Everybody wanted to hear that on air. Anyways, we're live at Bell MTS Iceplex. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you on air. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend and Tampa Bay Lightning analyst, Brian Engblom. Brian, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How was the offseason?
The offseason was great. It was plenty long enough, and just glad to be back at it. How are you guys?
We're doing well also, Brian. Excited to be here. Excited to get things back underway just like you are. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, Brian, were a team that was in the upper echelon of the NHL all season long, one of the final four teams getting to the Eastern Conference Final before they ran into that buzzsaw of the Washington Capitals. What is the attitude in the dressing room as we start the 2018-19 season for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Is it sort of a Stanley Cup or bust attitude in that room?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's really the same as it's been the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. They know they have a good team, and they expect to go all the way. So that certainly hasn't changed. The disappointment the last couple of seasons has built up because they've been a favorite each of those seasons, really ever since they went to the finals against Chicago. So they know they have a stacked team. I mean, you know, you listen around the league, their radio shows and television and whatever, a lot of people have them, you know, up there at least, you know, in the top three, if not the number one team in the league. So they know what the expectations are. They're used to dealing with them. And like Steven Stamkos said the other day, he said, we're already kind of tired about talking about this because, yeah, we're expected to go, you know, and win it, and that's where we're focused.
You know, Brian, to that point, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they go all the way to the Eastern Conference Final last year, and they obviously, you know, easily could have won that series against the Capitals, who ended up going all the way and defeating the Golden Knights for the Stanley Cup. But when you look at this team, I mean, with the exception of one or two players, it's the same team. And when you consider that, what is going to be the difference? We know this is going to be a playoff team. It might be a team that wins the President's Trophy, but what's the message to this team? Because we know that they're not going to change how they play stylistically, or the personnel isn't going to be much different. But do you have to just take it one step at a time and now focus on the regular season and then wait till the playoffs? And the message is that once we get there, we have unfinished business.
Yeah, the overall look is exactly that. It's experience as a team. And handling, you know, the rough spots in the playoffs, it's the difference. Like you guys mentioned, you know, the fine lines against Washington. They felt like, you know, they could have won that series. They let it slip away. But look at Washington, has talked repeatedly since they won the Cup about, you know, how easily they could have lost to Columbus, you know, in those overtime games. And the famous, you know, overtime one in Game 3 where there was a goalpost hit by Columbus, and then they come back and win that, start changing the series. So it's getting comfortable in uncomfortable situations, but you can't rush it. This is, you know, September and October we're talking about, and not April, May, and June. So it's about building your team, building the process. You have to get in there first, and that's the biggest difference. And it's not going to be any easier this year for sure. So you have to have the horses. You have to have the goal scoring, because we all talk about how difficult it is to score goals. So you have to have some talent that can get you there. Because, yeah, you can play tight defense and everything, but on any given night, if you don't have the horses that can score a key goal or two for you here or there, you're not even going to get into the playoffs. You're going to miss it by a point or two or more. So I think you know, they know what they're up against, that they will build their team the way they did last year, and then the playoffs will take care of themselves.
You know, Brian, one of the things people are talking about is the Jake Dochen situation. He's currently, the Lightning are looking to terminate his contract. It appears that he's cleared waivers, but it looks like he's going to try and fight it. Are you a little surprised by how this has kind of gone down?
Well, they've been pretty quiet about it. All I know is he was here, and he went through the physicals, and next thing you know, he was on waiver. So my understanding is they basically didn't, you know, like the way he, you know, showed up for camp and the physical condition he was in and went, okay. And that, I think, goes back to, you know, last year or two when he started off the year maybe a favorite to play with Victor Hedman because he had broken in the prior year and played with Victor pretty well. And it didn't work out that way. He ended up losing his job and played very little as the second half of the season wore on. So, you know, in the exit interviews, like everybody, you know, they tell him what they want and, you know, say you have to come to camp in good shape. And my understanding is that wasn't happening. So that's about the extent that I know of it at this point.
Brian Engblom, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Brian is a color analyst for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Brian, the hockey world was sort of put on its back earlier this week with the announcement that Steve Yzerman was resigning as Lightning general manager, Julien Brisebois taking over, moving from the assistant general manager role. How surprised were you by the announcement, and you know, what were the reverberations throughout the Lightning organization?
Everybody was pretty taken aback, and nobody really saw it coming. So we were all surprised, no doubt about that. The explanation was basically that Steve, this is his last year with the organization. He has not left the organization. He is sort of almost flip-flopping roles with Julien Brisebois. And he will be a consultant, I guess, is the best word that you can use. He'll probably spend more time watching Syracuse than he will the Lightning. And Julien will be, you know, watching a little more here than he was Syracuse, although Julien Brisebois is still technically going to be the GM of Syracuse as well. But he said, I'm going to spread the work around and ask a few people, guys like Pat Verbeek and Jamie Pushers, and said, you know, to go and watch them a little more often when I can, and of course, Steve. So, you know, that's the way the process went. As far as if Steve goes, you know, the way the explanation we got of what he said was this was the last year of his deal. So when Jeff Sinek went to him and said, you know, I want to keep you, let's talk. And I guess Steve had been thinking about it for a while, obviously, and decided that he, after 8 years of basically commuting back and forth from Detroit to here, that he was, you know, that was really wearing on him. He's got one daughter in college in Boston College. You got one daughter in Ann Arbor, the University of Michigan, and one at home in Detroit, and his wife spending most of her time in Detroit. So, you know, going back and forth and going home and visiting them and staying, you know, he really is diligent at seeing, you know, big moments in his daughter's life too. It was wearing on him. So he said, I think I might just, you know, let this play out and I got to change something. And that's about as far as he went in the explanation. So, you know, he's doing it for family reasons so that he can get back and be out of Detroit, and whatever happens after that.
You know, Brian, you mentioned Steve Yzerman wants to spend more time with his family. He's been called the ultimate family man. And, you know, in his new role as advisor to Julien Brisebois, people are already starting to say that, you know, this is going to be his last year with the Lightning organization, and maybe he's going to be the future GM of the Detroit Red Wings. And obviously it's way too early to start speculating on that, but is it not possible that Steve Yzerman is going to be a long-term advisor to Julien Brisebois, and this doesn't necessarily mean that his future with the Lightning is going to be short? He's still going to be able to spend time with his family and then just not have to travel as much and have a reduced role?
I don't know. I can't answer that. That Steve is a very tight-lipped guy, always has been, and he keeps things to himself, and he is certainly entitled to that and deserved that. I only know as much as, like what I told you, there was immediate rampant speculation that, yeah, that he's already setting the table to go and work for the Red Wings. I have no idea, and I'm sure you won't find out from Steve until if and when that ever happens. All I know is he has said that's what, you know, he's decided he wants to do for now. And you have to respect him for it. And things really aren't going to change that much here, especially this year. They're, you know, the way everything is in place already. Julian's been here for 8 years. Friesbach's been here for 8 years. And he has been in the room with Steve on a constant basis. So it's not like they're bringing in somebody from the outside. Julian's got 17 years of experience now in management. And people, a lot of people have no idea that he's even close to that. As a matter of fact, Jeff Innick in the press conference said, matter of fact, Julian has way more experience than Steve Yzerman did when I hired him, you know, as far as the management goes. So, you know, their players aren't worried about it. The atmosphere here really hasn't changed. We're sort of over the surprise of it, for sure. But, you know, it really not going to feel a whole lot different.
You know, and Brian, that kind of leads into my question, because that's what I was thinking, was that Julian Brisebois has such deep ties to Syracuse. That'll be such a big advantage for this organization went moving forward, in that he has that tie, that relationship. He knows the players better than anyone.
Yes, he does, because he has been in charge. But that's right. And before that, he was in the Montreal organization. He's won two Calder Cups as, you know, as part of management. He won one in the Montreal organization, and then early on here when the team was still in Norfolk before they moved to Syracuse. John Cooper was the coach, so he knows John Cooper. He was the one actually that sort of, from what I understand, actually sort of found John Cooper, and they, you know, moved forward with that whole process, and Coop got hired and ended up, you know, with the Lightning being the head coach that he is now. So, you know, there's a lot of continuity there. As I said, Julian has extensive. He started off as an attorney and then ended up doing arbitration workforce, I think he said 10 or 12 NHL teams his first year in connection with the NHL doing arbitration cases. Then he got in with the Montreal organization, and then he was part of the, you know, handling the salary cap. So, I mean, he's got extensive knowledge of everything that happens behind the scenes, not just, you know, who the players are and you know, what the personnel is in any given organization. So, he's very well-rounded and has a good firm grip on this.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290. Our guest is Tampa Bay Lightning color analyst Brian Engblom.
Brian, final question for you here. I know you're at Tampa Bay Lightning training camp right now. This time of year, it's always fun to talk about those key training camp battles for you. What's one training camp battle in regards to the Tampa Bay Lightning that you're looking at here early on in camp?
Well, the top nine forwards are pretty set. You know, if one of the young skilled guys shows something, I mean, they're really going to have to show something big realistically. But there are two spots open on the fourth line. Chris Kunitz is gone. He's in Chicago. And Ryan Callahan won't be ready until November because he had off-season surgery on his shoulder. So you got two fourth line spots. So for guys who are, you know, capable and kind of fit that role, they've got a chance to crack the lineup. So that's got to be exciting for, you know, these young guys to see that they could start with a team that's this good and this loaded and be part of it. So I would say that those, you know, that's where we're looking first of all. But having said that, I don't think under Julian Brisebois it's going to be any different. If somebody like Braden Point comes along, which he did 2 years ago, and he was so good in camp, and they gave him a couple of preseason games and went, okay, all right, no, we're not sending him away. No, we're not sending him away. He's staying. Okay, he's here for good. You know, that's the way they look at it. That gives a lot of hope to, you know, the players in Syracuse seeing that can happen. Yanni Gord, you know, did it last year and came in and did a heck of a job. Cirelli got called up in, I think, end of February or March and became a mainstay third-line center all the way through the playoffs. So, you know, it shows those players and the organization is like, if you can do it, we will find a way to play it, no doubt. Now, we don't care where you come from, what your age is. If you're young, but you can play and you show that you can play the way we want to play, you're in. So we're looking for maybe another surprise this year. Who knows?
Brian Engblom is the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Brian, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights. Have a great season on Lightning broadcast, and we'll do it again real soon.
That. Thanks very much, guys.
Take care, Brian. Thanks again. Before we head to break, let's do caller number 5 right now to 204-780-1290. We want to send you to the Manitoba Moose home opener on October 12th versus Belleville. Give Sean Asor a call right now. Caller number 5 at 204-780-1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Well, something had to be done, and given the exigencies of the situation, I thought Mark Bergevin put together a real nice trade. Now, don't get too excited about Thomas Tatar. He was a disaster in a short time in Vegas.
Michael Farber appearing on TSN 690 in Montreal talking about the week's other big trade that saw Max Pacioretty go to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for prospect Nick Suzuki, a 2017 first-round pick. Thomas Tatar, not too excited about him, and a 2019 second-round pick. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here at Bell MTS Iceplex. We're live at the Winnipeg Jets Fan Festival. And we're live, of course, on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. Come on down, say hi to us here at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest. The Max Pacioretty trade.
Well, quick question first. Is Thomas Tatar part of the all-food team or part of the all-condiment team?
Is there an all-condiment team?
Well, as you would know, he makes all the all-teams.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, tartar sauce.
I think he would make the all-condiment team. Yeah. He'd be up there with Kevin Ketchup.
That's not a person. You just made a name up entirely. Anyways, that's good work on your part there, Ezzy. I want to, before we talk about Max Pacioretty, congratulations goes out to Carmen Penner. She was caller number 5, and now she's off to the Manitoba Moose home opener. Pardon me, he's off to the Manitoba Moose home opener on October 11th against Belleville. So congratulations to Carmen Penner. Going to have another opportunity to win some tickets before the show is up on this Saturday morning here on TSN Radio 1290. So, Pacioretty, he goes to Vegas. We sort of knew that this is another one of those trades that, quote-unquote, had to happen. Still not sure why it had to happen, but anyways, he's off to Vegas. They get back Thomas Tatar, member of the all-condiment team or the all-food team. They get back Nick Suzuki, a 2017 first-round pick, and they get a 2019 second-round pick. Your thoughts on the return that the Habs got? And arguably, did they get a better return for Pacioretty than the Senators did for Erik Karlsson?
I think the Habs got a better return.
I mean, a centerpiece of the trade, at least.
Look at Max Pacioretty and then look at Erik Karlsson. Max Pacioretty is an elite goal scorer. Erik Karlsson is one of the best defensemen in the entire league. I think we would all agree that Erik Karlsson, in the grand scheme of things, is a better player than Max Pacioretty, and they got a better return for Max Pacioretty, I think, than was returned for Ottawa with Erik Karlsson. So when you're talking about the centerpiece of the trade, it's Nick Suzuki.
Yeah, let me just, before you talk about the breakdown that what Montreal got in return, it's worth pointing out that Pacioretty, same thing, he was going to be an unrestricted free agent at season's end. He chose to sign a 4-year contract extension with Vegas as soon as the trade happened, getting him $7 million a year. But Vegas didn't know that that contract was going to come into effect immediately when it came to discussing the return for acquiring Pacioretty.
Right, and when you're talking about Tatar in 3 years at $4.8 million a year, you could definitely make the argument that, you know, he's overpaid based on his skill set. I mean, we saw it when the Golden Knights were in Winnipeg. Yeah. I mean, Thomas Tatar was regularly a healthy scratch for the Golden Knights. Now, speaking of trades, I mean, the Golden Knights trade with Detroit for Tatar was horrible. I mean,
a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick.
For a guy that you healthy scratched.
Yeah, it was a bad trade.
Right, so when you're talking about Tatar, I mean, this is a guy who has produced at the NHL level. I mean, I think at his peak, you know, he was playing on the second line for the Detroit Red Wings. Thomas Tatar on the Montreal Canadiens has the opportunity, Dave, to play in the top six. But back to, you know, the trade, looking at it as a whole, I mean, Nick Suzuki, you're talking about the 13th overall pick back at the 2017 NHL draft. This is a guy who's put up good numbers at the Ontario Hockey League level with the Owen Sound Attack. I mean, whether or not they got a good return is going to really, I think, depend on what type of prospect Nick Suzuki turns into. You also have to factor in, guys, the Montreal Canadiens were not going to re-sign Max Pacioretty. Yeah. So to get Thomas Tatar, Nick Suzuki, and two draft picks, for a guy that you're not going to re-sign, I think is one draft pick is, I think, a pretty good return for Pacioretty. Now, I agree, Drew, in a utopian world, the Montreal Canadiens would still have Max Pacioretty. He's been their most consistent player over the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
But obviously they screwed that up and they were forced to trade him. So ideally you'd still like to have Max Pacioretty, your captain, in the lineup. But I think considering that we all knew that he was going to be traded, this was a pretty good return.
Dave, your thoughts on it? We're talking about the Max Pacioretty trade getting sent to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for Nick Suzuki, a second-round pick, and Thomas Tatar. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Dave, your thoughts on the return that the Habs got for Max Pacioretty?
I think it's nice. I think it's, you know, the reality is that it's not a trade that we, you know, that you'd ideally be making, giving up that much goal scoring on a team that doesn't have a tremendous amount of goal scoring as it is.
The Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
And from the, you know, so from their perspective, it's not something you wanted to do, but you did it. And again, you're getting one piece, you know, that young piece at Suzuki that everybody's kind of looking at going, what can he be, right? And again, that's the whole intangible that you'll never know in these trades is what are these players going to become?
Mm-hmm.
Again, they have the 2019 first-round pick. That'll be a nice addition to a team that's clearly...
Second-round pick. Yeah.
That'll be a nice addition. Sorry, Suzuki was a
Suzuki was the 2017 first-round pick. Yeah.
So the fact is that you're going to have another piece that you're going to add, and I don't know how many draft picks they have. I was hearing some music in my head. I was going to start rapping, but anyway. So to me,
what was that?
I don't know.
I was like, and you guys didn't react. To your credit, either one of you reacted. I thought, am I hearing something? I mean, what is going on? Because I am clearly hearing some sort of 90s style rap music.
Drew, turn your Spotify account down.
Going on in my ears, and neither one of you guys even moved. So I thought, oh boy, I better stop right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, the one thing I will say, though, from Jets fans' perspective is, how much do you hate seeing all these guys coming over to the Western Conference?
Well, the Western Conference, between the Jets, I mean, there's a clear upper echelon in the Western Conference. The Winnipeg Jets, I would put up there.
The National Predators.
The Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't even include the St. Louis Blues, who I think had a terrific offseason. You have questions in goal with them with Jake Allen. But, I mean, the top of the Pacific Division and the top of the Central Division are now just going to be an absolute bloodbath.
Well, sticking with the Golden Knights, sorry, Dave.
Yes.
I mean, they lose David Perron, they lose James Neal, but now you have Max Pacioretty and Paul Stastny, who, by the way, have been playing together on the same line at training camp.
That's an upgrade, by the way. I mean, I take Stastny and Pacioretty over Perron and James Neal.
Well, absolutely.
Like, there's no question about it. And this is the team that...
You're also... Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about Stastny, I mean... James Neal and David Perron are wingers.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I know that.
And so now Paul Stastny is your number one center.
I know.
Or at the very least, he's your number two center.
I'm not looking at it from the position perspective.
You're saying from an offensive upgrade.
From just a player, who's more talented? The two guys you have this year are more talented than the two guys you had last year. Not that the two guys you had last year are dead weight or anything, of course.
I'm just excited for the Jets versus the Sharks Western Conference Final when it's Evander Kane's return to Winnipeg. It'll be a lot of fun. It's the West Side Story.
It's the West Side Story battle, of course, as well. But, I mean, it's going to be so interesting in the Western Conference this year with those four teams because there's a clear hierarchy. I mean, I mentioned St. Louis, but they're probably just in that level just right underneath. I mean, who knows what happens with a lot of the other teams. It's not like, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks. Most people would expect some sort of bounce back, the Dallas Stars. It's a fascinating conference now. It was always a fascinating conference, but now that you add a guy like Max Pacioretty and you add a guy like Erik Karlsson to it, all the Western Conference foes have to be just saying, holy.
Well, we just talked about James Neal. I mean, the Calgary Flames, they swung a big trade with the Carolina Hurricanes, and you can say whatever you want about James Neal.
And signed James Neal as a free agent.
Well, exactly, and James Neal, I mean, this is a guy who has been a perennial 25 to 30 goal scorer in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Flames have acquired him, and they've supplemented Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, the Flames are a team I don't think a lot of people are talking about, but to me, I think they've made enough improvements to be in the playoff conversation.
Quickly, Max Pacioretty, obviously, was a down year for him in Montreal with all the trade talk, and it was just a bad year in Montreal. Does he rediscover that 30-goal prowess that he showed for the majority of his season? For the majority of his career?
I absolutely think he can score 30 goals this year. I don't know if he's going to get back to 39 goals like he did, 5 years ago?
Something like that.
So, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, 28, 29 years old? I mean, Max Pacioretty has a lot of good hockey. And by the way, we'll talk to Jason Pothier about this coming up. Yeah. Jason's with Sin Bin Vegas. That contract makes so much sense. 4 years. And what was the cap hit? $7 million
a season.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're not overpaying him. You don't sign him. I think if you signed him to maybe 6 or 7 years, you'd be concerned in the last couple of years of that contract. But for me, for a guy who's proven year after year, that's what he does. He scores goals. I mean, sure, you can, you know, definitely make the argument that Pacioretty hasn't translated that success in the playoffs, and that was the big criticism of him in Montreal. But, you know, good for him. He left a very negative situation. Now he goes to the defending Western Final champions,
the Western
Stanley
Conference
Cup finalist, yeah. Vegas Golden Knights. So, you know, good for Max Pacioretty. He's going to get, you know, all the opportunity there to play with Paul Stastny on the second line. You know, I should mention William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith. That's the top line. But the point is that he's going to get a lot of opportunity on the power play there. I mean, he's probably going to be right around 30 goals again. I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
We'll talk more about the Vegas Golden Knights coming up next. Jason Pothier of Sin Bin Vegas is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN Radio, 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour, Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Another group about to hit the ice in about 25 or so minutes.
Seeing some more jerseys here, Drew.
More of the new jerseys, you're saying, or just jerseys in general?
No, nope. I actually just saw someone with a Mandel jersey on.
Yeah. Probably wasn't a family member of mine, though. That's just a big fan, I'm sure. Something like that. Anyway, session number two of the Winnipeg Jets training camp about to get underway at 12 noon. People are filing in. We're having a lot of fun down here at Bell MTS Iceplex. Want to make note of something as we trying to get a hold of Jason Pothier of Sin Bin Vegas to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. Tyler Myers was not on the ice with Group 1, which is really the sort of regulars for the Winnipeg Jets, as you look at the two training camp groups. He was skating on his own, though, just sort of behind us here.
Assistant coach Todd Woodcroft.
Yeah, with Todd Woodcroft. So he was on the ice, just not with the big group. Not sure if he's, you know, who knows what happens in training camp. A lot of veterans are able to almost make their own schedules to some extent or find the best course of action for themselves. But Tyler Myers did skate today, just not with the big group here at Bell MTS Iceplex. Anyways, trying to get a hold of Jason Pothier to talk about the Golden Knights, as I said. A lot of guys coming over to say hi to us. Hello, nice to see you on this Saturday morning here. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Who in that second group of Winnipeg Jets players, sort of the group that is more or less destined probably for the Manitoba Moose or going to go back to juniors, are you interested in seeing? You're going to see some of those guys in the exhibition games. You're going to see some of those guys probably even on Monday when the Jets open their exhibition season. Is there anybody in particular that jumps out to you as you want to keep an eye on?
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about Christian Vesalainen, and I know Dave wants to get in here on Sammy Niku, but Sammy Niku to me is probably one of the most intriguing prospects. And that's because he won AHL Defenseman of the Year. I mean, as a rookie.
Sure.
Right? Did he win Rookie of the Year, too?
No.
Probably would have thought he would have won Rookie of the Year if he went Defenseman of the Year. But Sammy
Niku, give a guy too many trophies.
Sammy Niku, every time I watched him play, and again, Dave will get in here because he watched him much more than I did.
Yeah.
This does not look like a guy who's in his early 20s and is you know, 2 or 3 years away from playing in the NHL. So
it was Appleton, by the way.
Oh, right. Appleton won Rookie of the Year. Right. Another guy to look out
well,
for here at training
camp. Well,
that's
what I was going to ask you about Mason Appleton,
but,
Dave.
But, you know, back to Niku, though, I think it's because of the left side.
Yeah.
And there are other players on that left side. We've talked about it. Joe Morrow, Ben Sherratt. I mean, those are probably your third-pairing guys on the left side. Maybe Joe Morrow plays on the second pair, but right now it looks like Tyler Myers is going to be on the left side with Dustin Byfuglien. The point is, there is a lot of competition, but Sammy Niku is part of that competition. He got into one NHL game. Now, does that mean he's going to spend the majority of the season with the Jets? Of course it doesn't. There is a good chance he spends the majority of the season with the Manitoba Moose. But to answer your question, he is one guy that I'm looking to see how he does in these NHL exhibition games, because to date, for a seventh-round pick back in 2015, Dave, I mean, he just continues to exceed expectations.
You know what? To me, the player I'm really kind of interested in is Michael Spacek. And he took a next step. He'll probably be the top center for the Moose this season. But, you know what? He really has developed more and more as he gets more and more comfortable here in North America. And, you know, he obviously spent time in junior with Red Deer and came over, played with the Moose. And he's really kind of blossomed. And he you know, Coach Vincent put a lot of stock in him and a lot of trust, I should say, in playing him in certain situations. He was almost a little bit like a Patrick Laine light in the AHL with setting up on the power play and scoring from the Patrick Laine spot, as we know it here in Winnipeg.
Sure.
But
formerly known as the Alex Ovechkin spot.
Yeah, but when Patrick Laine outscores Alexander Ovechkin, I think it kind of becomes his spot.
Fair enough.
But anyways, so you know, to me, it's a lot of the younger guys, not necessarily guys who are going to necessarily make the jump this year to the Winnipeg Jets organization, but like, you know, there's a name, Nelson Noje, another guy, just to see how he bounces back after a really tough season last year.
Well, he's an interesting case. Sorry to interrupt you. Just okay. So people can remind themselves of of Nelson Noje. He got into some NHL games 2 years ago.
Ten games.
Yeah. 2 seasons ago, and he acquitted himself decently well.
And I have to tell you, as someone who was watching the Moose every game, he had been a healthy scratch for the Moose. So when he got that jump to the NHL, I was shocked. But he didn't. You know, to your point, he didn't, and what I think the point you're about to make is he didn't look out of
didn't look out of place. I mean, he looked like he had some talent and he certainly had some ability. And then it's a disaster of a season last year in that he's injured on the first shift, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Of the preseason. In Grand Forks.
In Grand Forks for the Moose.
Yeah.
Gets injured in that and blows out his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's a lost year for Nelson Noje.
Yeah.
This is a guy who, you know, I don't think anybody had overwhelmingly high expectations for him to start his career, but he did get into 10 games with the Jets. It was a lost season for the Jets at that point in time, and that this is 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's another guy who's got a lot to prove as he tries to battle his way back and maybe get his name into that conversation, not necessarily of maybe the top seven or top eight defensemen for the Jets, but a guy who potentially could be called up from the Moose to start, if the Jets run into defensive injuries.
No, and that's kind of what you're trying to do at this point, is you're just trying to establish yourself as a guy. Look, you're not going to knock out one of the top guys right now, I don't think. So the fact of the matter is the Jets have their 6, 7, 8 guys, I would imagine, and they're going to say, okay, you're really fighting right now for your ability to be the first guy called up when we need to go down to the Moose. And that's kind of the battle that these guys are undergoing right now. So I think Nelson Noje is the guy I'm looking towards. Jansen Harkins is another guy. He actually looked quite, you know, I watched him at the prospects being interviewed, and I was impressed. He looks different. He looks like he's blossomed a little bit in terms of his growth. And that's one thing we don't get. You know, I watched these guys last year almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
And over the summer, we don't really see how they change, how they grow, how they've trained. So this is always kind of an interesting opportunity to kind of see these guys for the first time on the ice, see how they've gained strength, gained speed, what they've been able to do over the summer, and how they've been able to take that next step to that next level.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290. We're live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest, talking about sort of that second group in the Winnipeg Jets training camp. They're about to hit the ice in the next 15 or 20 minutes to get their on-ice session underway. And, you know, other guys, Dave mentioned Michael Spacek. We talked about Nelson Noje. You know, what are fair expectations for Mason Appleton after he sort of didn't come out of nowhere, but he had a tremendous year for the Manitoba Moose? How does he sort of build on that season going forward?
Well, he's going to play a prominent role with the Manitoba Moose, and you're right. I mean, I don't know if many expected him to win Rookie of the Year last year.
Sure.
But we know that he is going to be a part of this franchise going forward. We know that he has high upside, so I think you're building off of a great year last year, and he's going to play, as I mentioned, a prominent role for the Moose this year. I really like Mason Appleton's game, and I like his character. We've had him on the show before, and he's got a great attitude, and he thinks the game very well. And, you know, it's not just, you know, his ability to score goals or make plays. You know that he's going to be that type of guy that can kind of be that utility player at the NHL level. It's tough to say right now if he's going to be a top six guy or a top nine guy at the NHL level, but I think right now the expectation is that he's going to build off of next year. And I'm not trying to give you a cop-out answer.
No, that's a fair answer.
But I mean, Mason Appleton, I don't think, you know, it's fair to expect him to crack the Jets opening night roster. Will he play a little bit in the NHL this year? Absolutely. I think he can play some games in the NHL. To Dave's point, I mean, I think whether you're Mason Appleton or whether you're Sammy Niku, you're trying to impress the Jets brass, and you're trying to show them that you want to make the team, of course, but you also want to let them know that you've come to camp prepared, you're going to give it every shift, night in, night out, and, you know, if the Jets run into some injury problems, these are the guys that are going to be called up.
Well, and I think it's the luxury of having the Manitoba Moose here is, A, the organization gets to watch them and monitor them very closely, go to the games. But the other thing is also is that, you know, the reinforcement of the idea of not rushing these guys. And again, I say that thinking of Sammy Niku. I say that thinking of Mason Appleton. These are guys who are going to be very well served, and the Jets organization, from the long-term perspective, will be very well served by these guys getting seasoning in the second-best league in North America. And so, to me, giving these guys the opportunity to play in the AHL, get that responsibility. I mean, the reality is this. You put these guys into playoff situations, that's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
You put these guys into playoff situations like they gained last year with the in the Calder playoffs. Again, it's a different circumstance. It's still important. There's still a lot of pressure. But at the same time, it's not to the same degree as an NHL Stanley Cup run. And I just think it'll be the team and the organization will be very well served by these prospects getting their feet wet, continuing with the AHL.
Lots of these guys are going to play for the Manitoba Moose. We've given away two sets of four. Let's give away our final set of four tickets to the Manitoba Moose home opener, October 12th versus Belleville. Caller number four right now to 204-780-1290 wins those tickets. Call Sean Assor right now. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at the Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
So I think Dallas will be pleased and looking ahead. You know, their top defenseman, John Klingberg, makes $4.25 million for another 4 years. They're going to be fined from a cap standpoint. They're fine at goaltender with Bishop and Hudobin signed. So they're pretty cleaned up here for the most part.
TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin talking about the Tyler Seguin contract extension. Tyler gets paid 8 years, $78.8 million, $9.85 million per season for Tyler Seguin in the contract extension.
Remember Taylor versus Tyler back in the day?
I do remember Taylor versus Tyler. Who would you take?
Ooh, that's a good one. Taylor Hall.
I'd take Taylor.
Okay, but it's close.
It is very close.
And there's no wrong answer, because both Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin are tremendous hockey players. So there's no wrong answer with that. One final segment this Saturday morning. We're live, of course, here on TSN Radio 1290. We're at the Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Jets Fan Fest. This final segment brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, two shows with Miss Pat, 7:15 and 10 p.m. Get your tickets now. The Norm MacDonald, he's coming up at the end of October. That was sold out. Unbelievable response for people wanting to see Norm MacDonald at Rumors Comedy Club coming up in October. Get your tickets now for every great show coming up. RumorsComedyClub.com.
I got my ticket.
I got my tickets.
And shout out to my wife Naomi's mom, Shelley.
Yes, your mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law.
Yes.
The website crashed, as you know, Drew.
Demand was that.
The website was down for 2 hours.
Demand was tremendous. It crashed the website.
Naomi's mom drove down to Rumors on Cordon and purchased tickets in person.
Well, there you go.
So shout out to my mother-in-law, Shelley.
You got a good mother-in-law.
We're going to Norm MacDonald on October 26th.
Travis Rashad is going to the Manitoba Moose home opener. He just won 4 tickets to go check out the Moose versus Belleville coming up on October 12th. So congratulations to Travis Rashad for winning those Manitoba Moose tickets.
Atta boy, Travis.
Earlier, Carmen Penner also won tickets. So congratulations to Carmen as well. And our first winner back in hour number one, Deborah Matkowski. So Deborah, Travis, and Carmen are off to see the Manitoba Moose at the home opener coming up in October.
Drew, we've got 3 players on the ice right now. We've got Mikael Burden, we've got Ken Appleby, and the player we were just talking about, number 82, Mason Appleton, on the ice.
There you go. Session number two of Winnipeg Jets training camp going to get underway here in the next 10 or so minutes. People filing in, continuing to file in to Bell MTS Iceplex to watch the Jets' second training camp session, second training camp group hit the ice and go through their drills.
Also, shout out to Rick St. Croix, also on the ice.
There you go. Let's talk about the Tyler Seguin contract. Obviously a huge money deal for Tyler Seguin, one of the preeminent goal scorers in the NHL, $9.85 million through the 2026-2027 season.
Nice little chunk of change.
Not so bad. Good contract, fair contract. The contract that he was going to sign wherever, is this just one of those things the Dallas Stars, you have to pay for your best players?
By the way, I love how they pump jump by Van Halen as the rest of the players are coming out here. I mean, Drew, you're talking about, I mean, we second overall pick back in 2010.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an underrated season. And I don't think it's talked about enough when it comes to Tyler Seguin. He doesn't miss very many games. I mean, you look at last year, he played the full season. The year before that, you know, he missed 10 games back in 2015-16. But he's been a very durable player for the Dallas Stars. And going back to the Boston Bruins, and this is a perennial 75 to 80 point guy. I mean, he had his career year back in 2013-14, but this is a guy that you know is going to give you 35 to 40 goals every year. He's going to give you 75 to 80 points every year. I mean, this is a bona fide number one center. I mean, is he a top three center in the NHL? I don't know about that, but I would argue that he's a top 10 center. And this Dallas Stars team, guys, we know that they made some changes in the offseason. Valeri Nichushkin is back. And obviously, Anton Khudobin they brought in as a backup goaltender to replace Kari Lehtinen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this team is going to be much better this year. Are they going to make the playoffs? Well, they're not as good as the Jets or Predators. And when you're talking about the St. Louis Blues and the Colorado Avalanche, they want to go to the playoffs as well. The Colorado Avalanche had a very surprising year last year. So back to the contract, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's probably what he should get. Was he overpaid a little bit? I mean, he's an elite number one center. So elite number one centers get around $9 to $10 million a year. I mean, they definitely weren't going to get him for $8 million a year, Dave. So for a guy that's in the prime of his career, and you forget, he's only 26 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he broke into the NHL back in 2010, 2011. So you think, you know, maybe he's closer to 30. He's only 26 years old. They've got him locked up now long-term. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, I mean, those are the cornerstone pieces of your franchise. Miro Heiskanen is going to come in this year, and there's a lot of expectations.
John Klingberg.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a very good offensive team, a team that was better defensively last year than they were 2 years ago. But I think they still have a long way to go before they're a Stanley Cup contender. But, I mean, you wanted to get Seguin done because you didn't want to have a Tavares situation.
Which was the risk the longer this drags out, Dave.
Well, especially when Seguin was asked about it at, what's the name of that
the
camp?
The BioSteel camp in Toronto,
and,
yeah.
And he was asked about it, and he was honest. He was candid. He said, look, I'm disappointed. I would have liked to have something to talk about, which more immediately, of course, because that takes place in Toronto, fueled all sorts of rumors and speculation.
And there wasn't a lot going on in the hockey world just yet at that point in time.
So, you know, I mean, that's one thing that you wanted to get done because, of course, you don't need to have one of your star players upset and not happy about his current situation. I will say for the Dallas Stars that announcement video may have been one of the greatest of all time. If you didn't see it, it was basically Nintendo. It was a Mario game that they turned into Seguin basically running around and playing Mario, you know, Super Mario, and then announced the terms at the end of the when he beat the...
He slayed the dragon and they announced the contract terms. It was clever. I'll give him credit.
No, it was great. Yeah. Honestly, it was... And you know, it was an old school video game, so... You know, it wasn't the...
appealing to the nostalgia of you?
Well, appeal to that as opposed to the Fortnite. I mean, you know, it could have been Seguin running around in Fortnite shooting people. That could have also been the game, but they went Mario, and it was great.
You know, last couple minutes of the show, what's the birthday plans? It's Dave's birthday. A happy birthday to Mr. Dave Minuk on this Saturday morning. Oh, look who's coming into the room here. Our good buddy Frank Zappia and his lovely family are joining us here at Bell MTS Iceplex.
He doesn't have any food with him, though. Wait, why doesn't he have any food? That's surprising.
You just came to wish Dave a happy birthday? Is that it? Okay, there you go.
We're pretty hungry, though, Frank. Even though you don't have any food, we'll probably go out later and get some.
Yeah. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here at Bell MTS Iceplex on TSN Radio 1290. It's part of Jets Fan Fest that continues for the majority of the afternoon. We're down to the last couple minutes here on this Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So, birthday plans? You know, I didn't get an invite to whatever the party is.
No, I had the fam over for dinner last night.
Did you cook?
I did. I actually made hamburgers, like, like from Hamby's. Scratch.
Yeah.
I was very, you know, I was
kosher.
Kosher hamburgers. It was good. Used our Cabin Weekend recipe. Shockingly turned out pretty well. And, it was nice. Had a nice little BBQ, and that's pretty much it. No, I don't have anything really exciting planned.
Well, Drew, wherever we go tonight for Dave's birthday, we'll make sure that we'll text you 2 hours after we get there.
That's standard. And give me the name of the wrong place to go to.
It's like the time Drew sent me an email and said we have lunch on this date, and it was actually I got the email and it was like 2 minutes till to the actual time. It's like 2 minutes. It was 11:58 for a lunch that I thought was at noon. Turned out it was a month later.
Yeah,
but still.
Well, I mean, in my
it was a non-invitation.
No, it wasn't. In my defense, there was actually no. I sent it to you for the right date. You read it wrong lunch was starting.
I'm saying I thought it was a non-invitation. Yeah. It turned out to be an invitation.
I'm not that rude. No. I'm not that rude. Tyler Seguin can afford to buy us lunch going forward now, though. I don't think he's necessarily going to do that. He's come a long way from the guy, if you remember, was a healthy scratch here in Winnipeg as a member of the Boston Bruins after the alarm clock didn't go off.
Well, the best part about that whole excuse was it made no sense because you were coming from the Eastern time zone, which meant your alarm clock should have gone an hour earlier.
I'm going to go out on a limb, Dave, and say there was no alarm clock.
I would agree with you, Drew, but the fact of the matter is I remember when he made that excuse, and I thought to myself, what's he talking about? If your alarm was set for the East, you would have been up an hour before, not an hour after.
You guys know we're still live on air, right?
Not anymore, we're not. That's it for this Saturday morning and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. Thank you to our guests, Dennis Bayak and Paul Edmonds. We were joined by Gord Wilson and Brian Engblom. In case you missed any of the show, it's available on illegalcurve.com, on tsn1290.ca, and of course, subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get it sent to you each and every week. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Keener Jerseys. Support them because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For producer Narv on site here at Bell MTS Iceplex, for Sean Asor, for Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.